Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And welcome back. Fred Jackson here, along with Dr. Ray Pritchard in Kansas. And joining us, as he usually does, at 11:05, right after the news, is Steve Jordahl.
Ooh, I want to be there. Hey, everybody.
Yes.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. I'm well.
Yes. Hey, listen, just a great conversation with Sandy Rios just a few moments ago. And we were talking just towards the latter part of that interview with some controversy within the Republican National Committee platform. It's getting ready to present that at the convention next week in Milwaukee. And she mentioned Tony Perkins, the head of the Family Research Council, saying it's a good platform. However, there is weakness that has not been there in the past with regards to the abortion question. And Tony Perkins addressed that on his program yesterday. Just want to have play a little bit of what Tony had to say on that. Cut number 9.
So if this is the approach that the RNC is taking, then quite frankly, I don't think we should be supporting the RNC with our finances. Let me be very, very clear here. We need to be voting, and we need to vote for candidates who most clearly align with biblical truth. There's very few opportunities we get that those are perfectly aligned, although there's more and more getting into the process. But you have to use discernment. We have voter guides. We'll be putting voter guides out on all of the elections this fall. And so we need to vote in alignment as nearly as possible with those biblical truths. But the next step is, where do we give our time and money? I believe we should give our time and money to those candidates and those entities that are clearly supporting biblical truth and willing to fight for that biblical truth. I've done this in the past, and they did a course correction, and so I remove my objections. But I would say you should not give any money to the RNC. You should direct your money to either directly to the candidates that you know, or I would encourage you folks to direct your money to the Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund or directly to candidates.
Ray, and I'm hearing what Tony is saying. You know, the Republican Party is certainly still the better choice than Democrats when it comes to value systems that reflect the Christian worldview. But at the same time, there's an opportunity, Ray, I think, to talk to delegates that are heading to the convention to make sure they hear the heart of the Tony Perkins, who are very concerned that the wording in the platform as it stands right now, as it was passed last weekend at the meeting of the platform committee, that it is watered down, not as strong as it has been in the past on abortion. And Ray, we should be telling those delegates, telling our members of Congress, that is not acceptable.
Well, you're exactly right. The Republican Party for the last 40 years had been crystal clear and basically united on what it was going to say about abortion. Now, Roe v. Wade has been overturned, so the whole landscape, the playing field is different now. And I think it's interesting what Sandy said, that she thinks this is less about Donald Trump than about the political advisors who are around him trying to shift from being on the right to the middle. I get that. So there's a simple solution here. Don't know if this is going to happen, but there's a fairly simple way to solve this problem. Donald Trump did not give, at the debate, he didn't give a totally cohesive answer when he was asked about abortion. Admittedly, debate situation, you're under a lot of pressure, but he wasn't totally clear. He has a wonderful opportunity when he gives his speech at the Republican National Convention to make it perfectly clear that he is pro-life, that the Republican Party is pro-life, and that despite whatever the platform says, he is reaffirming our traditional stand for the unborn. That said, do I expect him to do it? I don't, but I wish he would, because that could put this whole controversy to bed. Because I have read a number of thoughtful Christian leaders who, they're not going to vote for Joe Biden. They are never going to vote for Joe Biden, but they are less enthusiastic about this election coming up than they could be or would be if the party stayed clear on its pro-life stance. So I think there's some work here to be done.
I excuse me. I think what Tony is recognizing and what I think evangelicals need to pay more attention to is that our president, former president, is transactional. Mm-hmm. He will go where he thinks he has the best possibility of getting consensus or winning or getting a victory. I don't think that a lot of his statements come from core belief. That being said, I remember the moment in 2016 when I got on the Trump train, and it was during a debate with Hillary Clinton, when he came out with the most concise and strong pro-life statement that I had heard. I think this was fairly on the heels of the Virginia governor prior to Youngkin, who said that abortion should be fair even up until after the baby's born.
Yes.
He came out against that, but his statement on life at that point sold me.
Yeah.
And you have to give him credit for putting judges on the Supreme Court that overturned Roe v. Wade.
Absolutely.
So his actions, I'm fully behind. I agree. This is what the GOP platform says. Page 15 of the platform, it says, Republicans will protect and defend a vote of the people from within the states on the issue of life. We proudly stand for families and life. We believe the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States guarantees that no person can be denied life or liberty without due process, and that the states are therefore free to pass laws protecting those rights. So, as the Supreme Court did, he's throwing it to the states. I think it's also, Ray, worth noting that the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade is a little misunderstood. The court said that the Roe v. Wade decision was ill-conceived, and that the court does not have the right to create this law. But it doesn't say that Congress can't pass a law with regard to abortion. It doesn't mean that abortion is completely outside of the federal government's purview. It just means that the courts are now limited by what they can do with the issue.
Yeah. All right, next story.
All right, issue of our military, DEI in the military has come up just recently. They had a hearing about this, and Matt Gaetz was in this, and he has an interesting thought about this. We talk a lot about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. The left, especially the squad and the far left, has totally embraced this, and they say it's a way to bring judgment or righteousness or whatever. I don't know how they claim it, but bring equality and equity. Matt Gaetz has a little bit of a different view, and he wants no part of it in the military. Let's listen to Cut 11.
I've heard my colleagues say that we need to learn critical race theory so as to better unify. And I don't think that really reflects a reading of John O'Callaghan and bell hooks and people who don't present critical race theory as a unifying ideology. Critical race theory is an explicit critique of the civil rights movement. People write in the principal text of critical race theory that the civil rights movement got it wrong because the civil rights movement sought to have us come together as a nation and live in one country. So this is a separatist ideology. And I want to make clear, we're not trying to limit people's reading or understanding of things. Do that on your own time. But when it comes to the United States military, we should not be teaching people that immutable traits like their race define their destiny.
Yeah, exactly. And this has been one of the big things that we have learned, Ray, in the last 3.5, almost 4 years of Joe Biden. They are inserting critical race theory. They are inserting diversity, equity, and inclusion across the board within departments and making it litmus tests for how these departments, like Gaetz is saying about the military. It's happening within the education department. It's happening within the health division. It's happening in the environmental side of things. This is the worldview of the left. It is Marxism. Critical race theory is Marxism, and they're trying to impose that across the federal domain.
And that's not going to change until there's a change in the government at the very highest level. As long as Joe Biden and his cronies are in power, this is what we're going to get. We're going to get more critical race theory. We're going to get more wokeism. We're going to get more DEI forced into the educational system and into the military. To me, I can hardly imagine anything more dangerous than watering down the American military, greatest on earth, with alien concepts of this woke nonsense and CRT and DEI, just to use this little bit of that alphabet soup. But again, it's not, it is Marxism, 100%. It doesn't unify anything. It's devoted.
Yes.
It's devoted to tearing society apart and pitting one group of people against another. I can't imagine anything worse for the military. So good for the representative Matt Gaetz for speaking out. He's 100% right on this.
It has been part of the latest gospel with, sorry, not being disrespectful to the gospel, but this is what they believe in fundamental truth within the Pentagon. And people who don't toe this line have been denied promotions. They've been drummed out of the military. You only get along in the military these days if you do and subscribe to the DEI philosophy and critical race theory. And what Matt Gaetz is saying is that it's racist. Folks, listen, if you are looking at and you're undecided about even down ballot races and how you want to vote, think of this. The Democrat Party stands for racism. They stand for dividing the country along racial lines.
Yes.
It's just as pernicious when it was Jim Crow and it was white people that told black people they couldn't eat at the lunch counter.
Mm-hmm.
Now black people are telling white people that they're guilty because years ago, and nothing drives me crazy to hear some of these people, like on my Twitter feed, I've got to get rid of Twitter for a while because it makes me angry sometimes. What I'm hearing is people that come up there and say, we suffered from slavery, so we're not free now. No, you didn't. Mm. You didn't suffer from slavery. Not a thing that it's five generations at least removed from you. So don't go there.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I want to deal with this story that I heard this morning. This and it has to do with apparently latest polling, guys, that shows New York is in play for Donald Trump. That's almost unheard of. And Steve, you and I were talking about this interview this morning that Fox did with a former lifelong New York City resident. Democrat voter, dedicated Democrat voter. In fact, her name is Melissa Chapman, and she is not conservative. I mean, she is.
Well, she wasn't.
She wasn't. She may be now. She is. She has spoken in favor of the wokeness agenda, LGBTQ, Black Lives Matter. But something, Steve, has happened. She is a Jewish lady. And she is most upset with Vice President Kamala Harris.
Right. So this is a longer clip than we normally play. It's about a minute and 45 seconds. What you're going to hear, Democrat Melissa Chapman, she's talking to Fox News. Former Democrat.
Yeah.
Melissa Chapman, she's explaining, first of all, that New York is in play. She is supporting and that she is supporting Donald Trump, which her neighbors and friends are just astounded at. And then she has a problem with Kamala Harris and Kamala's support for Hamas, basically. So this is Melissa Chapman, Karit.
We were looking at some of the polling when it comes to Biden's support amongst Jewish voters. Back in 2020, he had 69%. A new poll in April is showing that he's at 61%. Why are you deciding to turn to the Republican Party instead of the Democratic Party right now?
I mean, I was the perfect I was the perfect Democrat. I did everything right. I supported every single party that I felt as a Democrat you should, the LGBTQ plus, you know, Black Lives Matter. I did everything. And then as soon as October 7th happened, I was completely abandoned by every single group that I supported.
Can you see yourself voting for Donald Trump?
Oh, 100%.
Wow.
And it's funny because I posted the story that I did in the New York Post yesterday, and people were like, you're going to vote for Donald Trump? Not even a question, because I feel that the squad members, this contingent, it's the Democratic Party that we knew from 2020 is no longer the Democratic Party now. It's more of like a socialist party, and it's changing. I feel Republicans are like old school liberal Democrats. That's how it seems to me. So for me, the Republicans is the only way to go at this point. I cannot even believe the things that she's saying.
Kamala.
First of all, in the speech, she didn't say anything about the fact that Hamas is the one that started this. They're a terrorist organization. What is their responsibility to giving their own people water? You know, clean water. She's saying there's not clean water to, you know, make flour. I mean, they're using the water for rockets. It's like, how can I support a government that is speaking this way about a terrorist organization?
Yeah, there you have it. Melissa Chapman, she's 40, 45-year-old, lifelong Democrat. She is a Jewish lady. And Ray, as she's pointing out there, what has happened is that Kamala Harris in recent days in an interview basically was saying she understands the heart of the pro-Hamas demonstrators that we have seen in New York demonstrating against Israel, blaming Israel for what's going on right now when it's Hamas, who, of course, we know, that carried out that October 7th massacre of more than 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children. And so she's saying she doesn't want any part of the Democratic Party anymore. And my wondering is, how many more, not just Jewish residents of New York, but how many more New York residents? Ray, we've seen people in New York who are describe themselves as Democrats that are upset with the way New York is appeasing and taking care of illegal immigrants that have arrived in that city. The illegal immigrants are being treated better than a lot of Democrats who've lived there all their lives.
You know, this may be the explanation, Fred, for why, and the sentence you said earlier, that New York is in play. One of the more incredible sentences I have ever heard on the radio, because how can you get deeper blue than New York? It just shows how quickly things can change. This woman, Melissa, I forgot her last
name. Melissa Chapman.
Melissa Chapman, I think she speaks for millions of people. I hope she does, right. Whose foundations, whose worldview was shaken by what happened in October. Those voters out there they're not Republicans, but they are willing to listen to what Donald Trump has to say. And by the way, we've talked a lot about what we don't like about the Republican platform, but it's quite strong against anti-Semitism and quite strong in support of Israel. I don't think the Democrats are going to be able to match that. So maybe, wouldn't it be amazing if Donald Trump made it a race in New York and even in, I hear New Jersey people talking like that. What a time to be alive. What amazing things are happening.
Yeah, it's the parting of the political waters.
Yes, yes it is.
We live in a different age.
Yes.
I want to, talking about Kamala's reaction to the protests on campus, I want to go back to those protests right now, because the director of national intelligence, his name is Avril Haines, he works for Joe Biden, he is putting out a directive. He has done a press release, and this is what it says. He says, I would like to take this opportunity to draw your attention concerning Iranian activity. Iran is becoming increasingly aggressive in their foreign influence efforts. They continue to adapt their cyber and influence activities. In recent weeks, Iranian government actors have sought to opportunistically take advantage of ongoing protests regarding the war in Gaza, using a playbook we've seen other actors use over the years. We have observed actors tied to Iran's government posing as activists online, seeking to encourage protest, even providing financial support to protesters.
Yeah.
So those sit-ins or those walk-ins brought to you by Iran.
Well, and Ray, I'm not surprised by these statements at all, because within a few days after that horrific massacre that occurred in southern Israel, there were tents, protest equipment in place, ready to go. Within 48 hours, we saw this in New York, and then it spread to various places, our university campuses. So disgusting what we saw from those students who obviously have been brainwashed for a long, long time. We know that countries like Qatar have been supplying, have been putting millions of dollars into our university system. So it wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. It was well-planned, well-orchestrated. So it doesn't surprise me at all that Iran would like to insert itself into our political system.
And this goes back to a topic we talked about in the last segment, which is who's going to take advantage? Which set of bad guys is going to take advantage of the current confusion and the instability in Washington? Russia, sure. China, sure. But much more, I think, Iran.
Yeah.
And nations like Iran there in the Middle East. The Iranians, there's no love lost between them and Israel, and they would start a war right now if they thought they could get away with it. So I am not surprised about this at all. Keep your eyes on the Middle East, folks, because I think that's where the next big events are going to take place.
We talked about the Republican platform. One of the planks in that platform, Donald Trump has said that he's not going to send money to colleges that have DEI departments. If they're doing any kind of woke stuff, no money. It would be very easy for him to tie this Iranian influence on our campuses to that and deny those people money, too. You'd see some of these tent cities gone in a minute. And what you say is interesting, because I don't think a whole lot of people notice. I saw some noticing this, but isn't it interesting that those tent cities, all the tents are the same?
Yes.
It's like all of these protesters went to DEI on this, or DEI, to REI on the same day and bought the same tent.
Right.
Just, you know.
Just
so happened.
What are the chances?
What are the chances?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And so, one of the things that I remember when Donald Trump was president is that he moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How many presidents prior to him, Republican and Democrat, had promised in election campaigns they were going to do it, but Donald Trump did that? And I tell you, the people of Israel and Christians who support Israel have never forgotten that. He stands with Israel. And he's not going to put up with, it's so disgusting, Barack Obama sending pallets of cash to Iran, which only encouraged them to further develop their nuclear weapons. Donald Trump stopped that, put sanctions in place. And what did Joe Biden do? That one of the first things he did after canceling the petroleum industry in this country, one of the first things he did was remove those sanctions against Iran, because he said they promised not to develop nuclear weapons. I mean, honestly, guys, who trusts the Ayatollah for a moment? Integrity is just not part of the fabric there. Despite the fact that I know God is moving in Iran, hearts are changing amongst the people there, and we celebrate that.
Yep.
We celebrate what the Lord is doing there. But, Ray, when it comes to the leadership of those countries, don't trust them for a second.
Well, look, the problem in Iran is not the people. Wonderful people there in Iran, but a terrible set of leaders. These mullahs, these ayatollahs, they are not on the side of peace or truth, for that matter.
We live, guys, in interesting times. That is an understatement, both here at home, domestically, and around the world. We need to be in prayer, but we ought to be people of hope as Christians. Our God is still in control. And how history is unfolding, God knows, and I mean that. God knows. And we, as his children, we can take hope in that. And our Heavenly Father is in control, and we must never forget that. But keep praying. Keep praying that souls would be saved and that God would give wisdom to our leaders. All right, guys, got to run. Ray, thank you so much. Steve, thank you so much. Our producer, Brent Creeley. We thank Sandy Rios and Chris Woodward. And much more great programming ahead here on American Family Radio. We'll see you again tomorrow.